Ron was a psychologist and a very good one. His favorite part of being a psychologist was that moment when he was sitting in his office across from someone and they were telling him about their pain and their life. And occasionally, there were these moments when he felt that he could really see them, that there was some kind of connection. And in that moment, if he carefully chose his words, he could reflect back what he saw in the person. And that began a healing process. He was in awe of those moments of connection that happened in his office. It was what he spent his life doing and serving. It was late one evening. Ron had seen clients up to 8 o'clock at night. It was dark and pouring rain, and he was driving home. He was going through one of those lights turning red, and someone coming the other direction anticipated their light change and came barreling right into his car. He woke up in the ICU of the hospital and he couldn't move below the chest. When he realized that he was paralyzed, he just wanted to die. It's over, he thought to himself. There's nothing to live for. I wish I had died. Why didn't I just die? That night, lying alone in the hospital room, a nurse came in. She had heard he was a psychologist. She stood by his bedside and proceeded to unload onto him all of her pain. I feel suicidal. My life is falling apart. At first, Ron thought, are you kidding me? I can't move. And yet, as she continued to talk, he found himself listening. And something happened while he was listening. That same connection, he began to really hear what she was saying. He chose his words carefully. He tried to reflect back to her what he heard, who he saw she was. After well over an hour of her talking, she left the room, and he thought to himself, well, I may not be able to move, but I can still listen. I can still speak. I can still make that connection. Did you know that some of the greatest passages of Scripture are actually music? Scholars believe that the first part of the Bible that was actually written down was the Song of Miriam, Moses' sister. She sang after they went through the Red Sea on dry land, and when they got to the other side, she started singing, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Or there's the Psalms, which we believe were songs. We don't have any of the melodies for this music, by the way, but we know that it was music. The first chapter of Genesis, some scholars wonder if that was actually an ancient song. And the first chapter of the Gospel of John that we heard this morning. Scholars call it the Logos hymn. The Logos hymn. We don't know the melody, but we know that it was music. Because music connects with you on so many different levels, doesn't it? Makes you feel things that sometimes words cannot. Logos, the word, also could be translated as the connection, the communication, the insight, the understanding, the wisdom. You've felt it, I know you have, when you're talking with someone and all of a sudden you really see each other. And there's this connection that you make. It doesn't happen all the time. But I know you've experienced it, and I have too. That moment of understanding. But the problem is that most of us are so busy and frantic that we forget we haven't made the connection in a while. We haven't connected with the beauty of the world around us. We haven't connected with one another. We've just been running around. Pema Chodron wrote a book called Things Fall Apart. She talks about how her husband, after many years of marriage, just unexpectedly up and left her. And she was furious until she realized that it was the best thing that ever happened to her. Because she had been so busy being his wife that she wasn't fully awake. And after he left, she became a Buddhist nun. Now that's an extreme, I know. But by doing Buddhist meditation, she realized something. And she articulates it so beautifully in her book. She says, the mind is like a pool of water. When the pool of water is still, you can see all the way to the bottom. And the beauty and magnificence of the treasures on the bottom. But when the mind is not peaceful, then it's like the waters are all choppy and you can't see because the waves are dashing this way and that. You cannot see the richness of what lies beneath. When our minds are busy, we cannot make the connection because we can't see. There's too much distracting us here and there. When I was in college, I was a world religions major, and my best friend and I decided we wanted to try Zen Buddhist meditation in my dorm room one afternoon. So we got an alarm clock, and we set it to 10 minutes. And there was this Zen Buddhist exercise you can do. It's actually quite good. You're supposed to count to 10, but every time you get to the next number, if you have a thought, you got to go back to 1. So I started the alarm clock and I thought, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2. Oh, I had a thought, 1. I never did get past 2 that afternoon. Because my mind was so jumpy. And I've been trying to do silence pretty much every day since. And my mind is still jumpy. But sometimes, just like Ron in his office, sometimes I'm given a moment of calm where I can see the depths and the riches beneath and make a connection. There's so much waiting for you to see. In the Logos hymn is this amazing verse. He came into the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world didn't know him. The maker of the universe came into the world, and yet we didn't know him. We didn't see him. We weren't aware of his presence. Why? Because we were running around. What were they doing in Jesus's day? I don't know. Fishing, selling stuff, worrying about their relationships. What are we doing today? Emails, phone calls. Does it really matter what it is? But he came into the world and they didn't see him. Alice Walker, in her book, The Color Purple, writes, "I think it makes God really mad when we pass by the color purple in a field and don't notice it." God is waiting for you to make the connection. And God, unlike all of our social media and advertisements, is not chasing us, but just patiently waiting. God has a patience that we cannot fathom. I think God knows that eventually we're going to get tired of rushing around here and there. We're going to get tired of all the waves going this way and that. We're going to long for something deeper, something more lasting. And when we're ready, then we'll quiet. And then we'll see. Ron has lived now for over a decade as a paraplegic. He lives either in bed or in a wheelchair. And he says he has never been more grateful. Every day when he gets put in his wheelchair, he does exercises of seeing, exercises of gratitude. He gives thanks for the big oak tree outside of his bedroom window. He gives thanks for the person who puts him in the chair and the one who feeds him, for the food, for a flower. He says that becoming a paraplegic was actually the best thing that happened to him because it slowed him down, and now he is more awake. Now he makes the connection with his clients more often that he did before. Now he focuses. Don't you want to see? Don't you want to see the work of Christ in this world? Because it's all around you. Christ is made manifest in so many beautiful things all the time. And God waits for you to see. Amen.